Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nerton, the Marx editor. In this episode of the podcast, we're pleased to welcome members of the Marx copyright and education teams, and they'll be discussing the very timely issue of deepfakes. And this follows up on a very well-received session on the same topic at this year's Marx Spring Meeting in Barcelona. The discussion will be led by Lisa Erazzo, who is founding partner of Erazzo Abogados in Colombia and is a member of the Marx copyright team. So I'll hand over to Lisa now to introduce the topics and the other speakers. Lisa.
Thanks, James. And hello, everyone, and welcome. I will be moderating today's podcast on deepfakes, a topic that has gained enormous relevance due to the rapid development and widespread adoption of artificial intelligence, bringing together both European and US perspectives. But rather than getting ahead of the discussion, I will let our panelists explore this issue in depth. We have three fantastic guests with us today. We have Maiken Tofgaard. Maiken is a Danish lawyer and a partner at Paul Smith in Copenhagen. She works in intellectual property, consumer regulation, unfair competition, and e-privacy. AI is a major part of her practice. She teaches AI and IP, founded an AI professional network, and advises clients on IP issues through AI. She's also a member of the Marx copyright team. Howard Shire. Howard joined us from the New York City office of Trudman Pepper Locke. He has over 40 years of experience in intellectual property law and is a regular participant in the Marx annual meeting. He's also a long-standing member of the Marx education team. We also have Julia Holden. Julia is a senior partner at Trevisan and Kunso, qualified both as an English solicitor and as an Italian attorney. She advises international companies on all ideas of IP, especially copyright, trademarks, litigation, anti-counterfeiting, unfair competition, and customs enforcement. She's also part of the Marx copyright team. Thank you all for being here and welcome again. Now, going back to deepfakes, Maiken, let me start with you. To begin with, what exactly are deepfakes and why are deepfakes such an important issue today?
So deepfakes are AI-generated audio, video, or images presented as something real. So in short, I would describe it as media that convincingly fabricates someone's face, voice, or actions to make it look or sound like someone did or said something they never actually did. And Liza, I think it's an important issue because deepfakes can mislead voters, they can damage reputations, and they can erode trust and authentic information, especially on social platforms. So it's a big concern that AI-generated misinformation has the power to undermine trust in both individuals and institutions.
Well, Maiken, I am wondering, how are deepfakes currently regulated in Europe?
So in Europe, there's no single deepfake law or regulation, but there is existing framework. And that is, for example, the EU Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR. We have national criminal laws, we have national copyright regulation, and we have the EU AI Act and the EU Digital Services Act, the DSA.
Well, talking about the Digital Services Act, I have known that it includes rules on manipulated content. How does the DSA deal specifically with deepfakes, Maiken?
The DSA doesn't contain direct rules on deepfake, and it doesn't ban unlawful content. But it does require that the platforms, and that's especially very large platforms, that they are transparent, that they assess risks, and that they take proportional steps to protect users. So, for example, in terms of faster removals of illegal deepfakes.
Well, very well explained, a European approach, Mike. And I would like to move on with Howard, because I would like to know how does this work in the United States. So, for instance, Howard, is there any federal law that prohibits or regulates deepfakes?
Yes. About 6 months ago, our Congress enacted and President Trump signed what's called the Take It Down Act. This criminalizes a limited category of deepfakes, namely it criminalizes only the publication of deepfakes that involve intimate imagery. And it requires websites and social media companies to remove any such images at the request of the victim within 48 hours. And it provides for fines and possible prison terms as well for people who violate this law. And while this eliminates probably the most harmful type of deepfakes, it doesn't address the harm posed by deepfakes that do not involve intimate imagery. But that is the only federal law that addresses deepfakes at the present time.
Howard, and what about the state's law? Are there any strengths or weaknesses? Are there any state approach?
Yes, there are several states, about a dozen or so, have enacted laws prohibiting deepfakes, but only in certain limited contexts. Most of the state laws only provide for the fabrication of deceptive videos intended to influence an election or injure a candidate. Or the other category of the state laws are minors engaging in sexual conduct, computer-generated child pornography. Washington state prohibits any sexually explicit deepfakes. So it's generally limited. The state laws are limited to basically either unauthorized sexual acts or deepfakes that are intended to influence elections. Aside from these criminal laws, many states have what are called right of publicity laws, which are civil remedies only. And if you use someone's name, image, or likeness for commercial purposes, that person has a right to bring an action under a state right of publicity law. But once again, that is not criminal.
Okay, now I know this is a big issue in the US, and now knowing that state law has some limitations, how does the US balance First Amendment protections with the need to address harmful deepfakes?
We address that by targeting deception, fraud, or impersonation, not by broadly banning it, but limiting it to certainly narrowly tailored areas and requiring an intent element. So if somebody innocently, posts, let's say, a video that he or she believes is genuine, they're not going to be criminally liable. And as I've indicated, the laws that currently exist on the federal level, it's limited to intimate acts, and on the state level, it's also carefully tailored just to generally sexual activity or interfere with the outcome of an election. For example, if somebody were to make a deep fake that's a satire or political commentary on Donald Trump, for an example, that would not be prohibited. That would probably fall squarely within our First Amendment protection.
Good, Howard. From a practical point of view, how effective have state deepfake laws been in helping victims?
They've been, I would say, somewhat effective. The problem is generally locating who the potential defendants are. If you're going to bring a suit, you can get injunctions under state laws and you can recover money, but damages are difficult to prove. But the key thing to successfully proceeding under U.S. law, under either state or this new federal statute, really depends on identifying who the defendants are and what the platform is. I think it would be far better if we had perhaps a broader federal criminal statute, because prison time is probably more of a threat to people creating malicious deep fakes than just a civil injunction. Injunction will stop it, but typically, the problem is it takes a year and a half to 2 years generally for a U.S. litigation to get to trial and reach a decision. And by then, someone's reputation may already be damaged. Damages are difficult to prove in these cases. So I think it would be far better if we had a broader federal criminal statute, which does not, unfortunately, exist at this time.
Right. So I see the difficulties in enforcing these. But finally, do you think the U.S. will adopt a federal deepfake law in the future, Howard?
Yes, at some point in the future, I think we will, but really can't predict when. As you may be aware, our Congress at the present is deep in partisan disputes. Our government's shut down for about 45 days recently. Deepfakes have not been top priority for Congress. But eventually, I think we will enact a federal law. I just would be hesitant to predict when.
Thank you, Howard. Now, going back to the Denmark's approach and back to Maiken. Maiken, how do Danish marketing and advertising rules address the use of deepfakes in commercial contexts?
So the Danish Marketing Act prohibits both commercial use of an individual's voice or image without consent and misleading advertising practices. And that means that the deepfakes used in endorsements or brand campaigns are prohibited. And as a consequence, businesses must obtain a clear consent to avoid consumer protection violations.
Okay. Does the Danish Criminal Code provide protection against harmful deepfakes?
Yes, it does. The Criminal Code prohibits the unjustified use of another person's identity and, the dissemination of manipulated material altering a person's appearance or statements in a misleading way. So offenses can include identity misuse, harassment, and fraud.
Okay, so, and what is the role that do copyright and image right play in the Marx framework, Maiken?
Yeah, currently, the right to one's name or likeness is governed in a fragmented manner, drawing on both statutory provisions and unwritten principles of law. But the Danish government has proposed an amendment to the Danish Copyright Act, and that is designed to protect individuals against digital imitations that reproduce personal traits. So the proposal includes protection of artists and performers, and also protection of personal physical characteristics.
Okay, very interesting. But looking more broadly across the US, the UK, the EU, and Denmark, what common principles do you think are essential for regulating harmful deepfakes, Maiken?
Yes, see at least three essential principles. First of all, we need a clear consent-based rules governing the use of likeness, voice, and personal identifiers. Secondly, we need transparency and traceability, including obligations for platforms and developers to label or detect AI-generated media. And thirdly, I would say that remedies for victims are essential in terms of rapid takedowns, injunctions, and damages.
Okay. I see, Maiken, that Denmark has a very direct approach, no, on this. What makes the Danish model distinctive, in your opinion?
The Danish model directly targets the act of making realistic digital imitations available to the public without requiring proof of harm or intent or commercial exploitation. So this shifts enforcement from a reactive tort-based claims to a more proactive rights-based approach. And it establishes a clear and totally technology-neutral rule set.
Finally, Maiken, I am thinking, do you think Denmark's rules on impersonation and manipulated images could be applied more widely across Europe?
Yeah, I do believe that. The Danish approach provides a template for an EU-wide framework because it is both firmly grounded in a consent-based privacy protection, and it includes freedom of expression safeguards. And last but not least, it aligns with existing EU legislation on AI and platform accountability. So, yeah, I do believe that this, functional structure, prohibiting realistic digital imitations without consent and enabling rapid removal, that could be adopted across the EU.
Thank you again, Maiken. Now, Julia, let's turn to you. Let's talk a little bit about the EU AI Act and the Italy's new deepfake law. So my first question to you is, does the EU AI Act include any specific rules on deepfakes?
Yes, it does. In fact, it includes a definition of deepfakes, but perhaps it's worth explaining that the EU AI Act is an attempt to while it fosters innovation, also to protect the fundamental rights and values of EU citizens, putting a lot more obligations on providers of software and for them to consider the risks of AI. So it's quite new and robust, let's say, compared to the US system and regulations. So the definition of deepfakes is in Article 360, and it defines deepfakes as AI-generated or manipulated image, audio, or video content that resembles existing persons, objects, places, or events, and would falsely appear to a person to be authentic or true. So we're talking about cloned voices, fabricated videos, which impersonate people very realistically and are incredibly convincing. And yes, so the EU AI Act includes specific provisions for deepfakes. The way it works is that it classifies according to risk categories: unacceptable risks, high risks, minimum risks, and no risks at all. And when it comes to deep fakes, it imposes transparency obligations. So any images, video, or audio which resemble or impersonate existing persons must be clearly disclosed and identified as AI and labels as such, so that users are aware that they're interacting with AI. At the moment, in fact, earlier in November, a code of practice was being discussed around the obligations which clarify what markings are required to detect AI-generated content. And there were two working groups which were set up, one for providers of AI to meet the transparency obligations so that AI-generated content in machine-readable format can be detected. And the other is for deployers of AI, and that's to say people who are using that AI, and that has a labelling requirement. So those provisions are not yet enforced. They'll come into force in August 2026. So we still have some time to see how that pans out.
Okay, Julia, why are these rules, in your opinion, important from a regulatory perspective?
Yeah, so I think the rules are important because until now, there was quite a fragmented approach to deep fakes in the European member states. For example, in Italy, there was quite strong protection, in France as well, and now in Denmark. But in other countries, because deep fakes are quite a new phenomena, but growing rapidly, the technology was well ahead of the law. And this brings, well, it's hoped that it will bring a clearer playing field so that all the tech companies and users of AI are working under the same rules, which will enhance trust in AI, which is very important.
Thank you, Julia. Italy recently adopted a new law on deepfakes. What does this Italian law cover and how does it change enforcement in practice?
Yes, so on the 10th of October this year, there are new laws for regulating artificial intelligence in Italy. And in particular, when it comes to deepfakes, it introduced very clearly deepfakes within the criminal code. So criminalizing the dissemination of deepfakes. And the way it works is that it punishes actually with imprisonment of from 1 to 5 years, the dissemination of AI-generated or altered images, videos, or voices that mislead as to authenticity and cause unjust harm. So it applies to any AI-generated media, and it prohibits disseminating, sharing, publishing content without consent of individuals, which harms and misleads. The harm must be unjust harm, and the penalties are 1 to 5 years of imprisonment. And as far as the enforcement is concerned, anyone who is a harmed party can bring a criminal complaint. And these criminal complaints can also be brought ex officio if it concerns a minor or a vulnerable person. And the regulatory bodies are the National Cyber Security Agency and the Digital Agency, which are tasked with monitoring AI systems and ensuring compliance with national and EU regulations.
Well, Julia, it's very good to know that they are criminalizing deepfakes. But finally, how do the EU AI Act and the Italian law complement each other if they do?
Yes, so the Italian law specifically says that it will conform with national law and EU AI law. So it fits together with that quite well. In fact, it prohibits purposely manipulative and deceptive techniques which materially distort behavior by appreciably impairing our ability to make informed decisions. And that is banned. So abusive manipulation through deepfakes is in fact banned by the AI Act. And that's worth mentioning.
Thank you, Julia. Well, I have some final questions before we close to each one of you. I will start with Maiken. Maiken, what do you think is the biggest challenge we will face in regulating deepfakes in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I believe that the real test will be cross-platform, cross-border enforcement that ensures swift removals and reliable verification.
Wow, that's very interesting, and interesting from the enforcement perspective and globally also. No, I am seeing a tendency to criminalize deepfakes in general, but there is also hard to prove damages. So very interesting. Howard, now a question for you, a last question for you. If you had to choose one priority for international cooperation on deepfake regulation, what should it be?
I think it should be cooperation on as Megan said, on cross-border enforcement. For example, if a deepfake is available in the United States, but investigation reveals that it's operating, you know, somewhere outside of the United States, there should be prompt cooperation to try to shut it down. I also think that criminal penalties are much more effective in stopping deepfakes than just civil penalties. So hopefully there could be some cross-border, you know, mutual enforcement of criminal laws in each country.
Many thanks, Howard.
Sure.
I totally agree with you, but we are talking about enforcement. I have a final question for Julia. Julia, what is the one thing the public should know to better protect themselves from harmful deepfakes?
Yeah, I think stay informed, stay skeptical, and always verify. And I think it's worth perhaps talking for a moment about companies rather than the public at large when it comes to harmful deepfakes. What can brand owners do and how can they protect? And I think there, companies need to inform their employees to be vigilant and also to have a damage management strategy in place so that if a deepfake goes out, they know what they're going to do and how they can reassure the public that their brand is not involved in that deepfake. Because as we know, brands rely very heavily on trust. Be vigilant. There are deepfake scams. So always double check sources and don't necessarily believe what your eyes see. Very difficult, but yes.
Thank you, Julia. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We hope this conversation helps clarify how different jurisdictions are responding to the rise of deepfakes. I don't know if somebody has something else to add.
The only thing I would add is that, you know, the technology is evolving rapidly and the law has been slow, at least in the United States, in catching up. You really need to take more aggressive action, I think, against the deep fakes.
Correct, Howard. I totally agree. But it's hard enforcement. And the good thing is that the global tendency is to criminalize this kind of issue, the deep fakes issue. But I totally agree with you.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa and Julia and Maiken and Howard. It's been a really interesting discussion and great to have the different perspectives from different countries as well. As I think Howard said towards the end there, it is an evolving issue, isn't it, as the technology continues to develop. So I'm sure Marks and the various Marks teams will be monitoring it and there'll be further discussions, no doubt, and maybe we'll come back to it in a future podcast as well. But thank you all very much for joining us today. And thank you to all our listeners as well. We appreciate you joining Talking Marks. And we look forward to welcoming you on another podcast very soon. Thanks and goodbye.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.